Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
England booked their place into the quarterfinals of the World Cup with a win over Senegal last night. They go on to meet France, who had a convincing win over Poland. Now, the England striker Raheem Sterling, he's had to leave Qatar after he received news that armed raiders had broken into his home with his family inside. But we're going to bring you up to date on that in a moment, because I'm joined from Doha by Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie. Gavin, I don't know if you've heard this, because it's just come to us, a statement from Surrey Police released this morning, and they say, "We're currently investigating a report of a burglary at an address in Oxshott. Police were contacted just before 9 p.m. on Saturday after the occupants of the property came home and discovered a number of items, including jewellery and watches, had been stolen. Inquiries to establish the circumstances are underway," but they say no threat of violence was involved, as the items were discovered stolen retrospectively. Now, everyone felt great sympathy for Raheem Sterling, because we were told that his fiance and their three young children were in the house when armed raiders broke in and carried out this burglary. This is different.
It is quite different to the version of events that was briefed by the FA to the English journalists here at the Al Bayt Stadium last night. All right, Claire. Yeah, Sterling flew home only hours before that game, as the FA said that armed burglars had broken into the home, and while no one was reported to be hurt, it was obviously deeply upsetting. So yeah, Sterling flew home. This is different now. I mean, they weren't in the house at the time. They came home and found that their items had been stolen. I'm sure that's still very, very unsettling for them to come home and realise that someone had been in their house, and we don't know the value of which of the goods that were taken. But evidently, Sterling was moved to fly home to be with his family. Such was their level of upset. And as to whether he'll come back out, Gareth Southgate has said it's entirely down to Raheem Sterling whether he wants to fly back out or not.
Mm-hmm. You just wonder whether the sympathy now will, you know, there was a lot of sympathy, as I said, when this came out over the weekend and last night. You'd wonder whether that might turn a little bit now.
You would wonder about that, but I still don't think it would be very fair for it to turn if there were inaccuracies in the initial briefing.
Maybe it was just a communication issue, but we know what fans are like when they're at the business end of the World Cup and what they expect of their players.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I mean, players are humans as well. And, like, regardless of whether they're in the house or not, that is still very unsettling. And, you know, for people to be breaking into your house, it does make you feel like, you know, just you lose all sense of security. So I can understand how, you know, Sterling's wife with three young kids would feel quite vulnerable in that situation and, you know, would want Sterling back there with him.
All right, let's talk about the football then, and England's win over Senegal. It looked pretty easy, really, watching it, keeping half an eye on it, because once the two goals went in, you sort of knew it was all over at that stage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That second goal was the real killer blow at halftime. England didn't really play that well for about half an hour. And I was, you know, writing in my notes that England completely overrated. And then they just scythed through Senegal with such ease. They scored two great goals and that was game over, really, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. They added a third in the second half and then they just shut it down. It was one of the more boring games of the World Cup I've covered. But I think Gareth Southgate, if he is listening to the programme, will take that as a compliment.
Jude Bellingham then, he's one to watch, isn't he? He's only 19, but he's a huge star for them.
Oh yeah, no. This is real breakout stuff from Jude Bellingham. The counterparts you can think of, maybe Wayne Rooney at Euro 2004, maybe Paul Gascoigne back at Italia 90. He's a magnificent footballer. You know, Liverpool reportedly tried to sign him last year, and we're going to hold off for this year. I don't think they'll be able to afford him after this World Cup. That he's at Borussia Dortmund in Germany. The transfer fee that'll be paid to take him out of there will probably be recorded in Germany's GDP. It will be absolutely enormous. The guy looks a superstar. And yeah, looks the best player in an England team stacked with great players.
And then on the other in the other match, France made it look easy against Poland. And just listening to the BBC on the way in this morning, the theme of the coverage seemed to be, "We're not afraid of France." Should they be afraid of France?
I'm not sure. It's not just on the BBC that comment is being made. I note that former Republic of Ireland midfielder Declan Rice says that country should be starting to fear us now because we're a great team. Obviously, the us he now refers to is England. And Rice is Rice kind of captures that English confidence. He flew out here. He said before the tournament he was flying out with an empty suitcase to bring home the World Cup trophy. You know, Irish fans might be forgiven for thinking he needed all that room for his many passports. But look, England have not really been tested yet. It's not edifying for me to carry grudges like that. But
you're not alone.
Maybe I can't.
I don't know if you caught Roy Keane's comments when, you know.
No, what did he say?
Some of the English commentators were saying, isn't it great how players can play for other countries when they have heritage? Obviously, completely not seeing what Roy Keane was seeing. And there was a great column in the Gordon Manning in the Irish Times was writing about how Roy Keane's face changed. His eyes started to bulge. His skin turned red and he exploded into a, it's all right for you to say that, isn't it? into a Declan Rice and others rant. So listen, you're not on your own there with that one. Anyway, he's confident. Is that what you're saying? He's saying they should be scared of us.
He is confident. And look, in fairness, how can you quibble with him? Like, I mean, England have looked one of the most rounded and the best teams of this tournament. They haven't looked perfect, but no team has looked perfect. But now, you know, the mock exams are over for England now. It gets real against France in the quarterfinals. Under Southgate, they've been a brilliant tournament team. The criticism is they've never really beaten a great team. You know, they've had relatively straightforward draws to the semi-finals of the World Cup and the finals of the most recent Euros. This is the big stuff now. I mean, France and England look like if they're not the two best teams in the tournament, they're in the top three with Brazil. Mm-hmm. It's mouthwatering stuff now at the Abbey Stadium next weekend.
Now, what was Arsene Wenger saying that made you raise your eyebrows?
Yeah, so Arsene Wenger, I got out of bed on time to go into this technical briefing he was giving yesterday morning on the trends to emerge from the group stages. I thought thought it might be pretty interesting. I might learn a couple of things. And then he dropped this bombshell unprompted. He was not Jurgen Klinsmann was alongside him and he answered a question about as to whether the lack of preparation time led to the many shocks and upsets we saw in the group stages. And Klinsmann said something along the lines of, yeah, well, you know, teams have to adapt to the physical and mental challenges of being out here. And then Wenger just butted in, unprompted, to add that, yeah, the teams who have performed well have been those who have been mentally ready to focus on competition rather than on political demonstration. Which is very surprising and quite disappointing to hear a man of Arsene Wenger's standing and reputation go along with that. You know, he's not the first man to say it. Eden Hazard, the Belgium captain, referenced it after Germany lost their opening game, having, if you remember, they covered their mouths in protest to say they'd been gagged by FIFA because they couldn't wear the one love armband. There's other, you know, quite bad faith arguments, in my opinion, made trotting out that line. I mean, Germany have been mocked on Qatari television here. One of the main football broadcasts here had lined up all of their presenters. They covered their mouths and they waved bye-bye with their other hand to Germany going home. So for Wenger to go along with that line of that line of argument was very disappointing, and it's also, you know, demonstrably false. Okay, mm-hmm. Germany got knocked out, but other teams have made political stances and have done very well. If you remember, Claire, we were talking about the Australia protest before the tournament. They went on and had their joint best ever performance of the World Cup here, getting to the last 16 and nearly knocked Argentina out to get to the quarterfinals. Iran did well, having made a very bold political protest before the game against England. So, yeah, it was quite disappointing for Wenger to come out and say that kind of thing, I have to say.
All right. Now, let's focus on today's fixtures. So we have Japan and Croatia and Brazil and South Korea. You're going to the Brazil game yourself. Not surprised to hear that. Should be a foregone conclusion, though, right?
It should be, yeah. Now, look, I mean, listeners, if you're going to ask me for a prediction, I think listeners might turn off. My dark horse of Serbia have obviously loped home with their tails between their legs, 1 point bottom of the group. so maybe don't put much stock in what I have to predict. But this looks, Brazil got one of the easier draws, I think, in the last 16. South Korea squeaked through in very dramatic circumstances from their group stage, but it was dramatic because they weren't exactly dominant in many of their matches. Neymar, the man people either love or hate, rate him to the point where they might rename him Neymar Might, but he is back from injury, so he's going to play for Brazil today. And they do, you know, Brazil do look very strong, and I'd be amazed if they had had any issues against South Korea today.
And Japan, favourites against Croatia, would you agree?
I think that it might be. You know, Croatia have the bigger reputation, having been to the World Cup final 4 years ago. But Japan just looked like a younger team. Like, they looked like the coming team. They've already beaten Spain. They've already beaten Germany. Croatia looked very vulnerable in beating Belgium, in drawing against Belgium in the final round of the groups to squeak through themselves. So, yeah, I think Japan have been one of the great stories of this World Cup, haven't they? So I'd expect that their journey would continue on for another week.
Okay, and also people talking a lot about the great Pelé's ailing health, but some of his family members have come out today and contradicted those reports that he was receiving end-of-life care.
Yeah, so there was a report did the rounds a couple of nights ago that said Pelé was no longer responding to treatment for his cancer and moved to palliative care. That's not true. His family came out and said he had been hospitalised with a lung issue. He is continuing his battle with cancer, but he's still very much with us. To make the point kind of slightly inelegantly, and Pelé himself came out and posted on Instagram that he feels strong, that he thanks everyone for their prayers. So the great man is still with us, and his granddaughter said that he expects to be around to watch Brazil win the World Cup for a sixth time in Qatar in a couple of weeks' time.
Gavin, thank you very much as always for joining us from Qatar. Gavin Cooney there, sports writer with the 42.ie.